All right, we're going back to D.C. We're bringing our one of my best friends, I think, and the dad of FP Jr. is here with me, helping to produce the show today. He is the color analyst on the Nationals baseball broadcast on television. FP Santangelo, how are you, FP?
I'm doing good. The Nats are good. The Giants aren't, and I'll talk to you later.
All right. It's been nice having you on.
That's all you need. That's it. Yeah.
And, and you left early last night when Andy Baggerly was still sitting there. He can't get over that.
I was here. Everybody thought I left. I was at the ballpark. We had a couple more things to do, and I was downstairs with some friends. And, yeah, we were here the whole time. I don't know what was going on. It was a weird night with the weather. Nobody knew what was going on. I heard players were already home, and the Giants had left, and, you know, it rained all night. You know, the last time a team's in or the only time a team's in, it's up to Major League Baseball. So I think what I'm hearing today around the ballpark is the big hubbub was about going up against ESPN Sunday Night Baseball with the second game tomorrow, and that's where there was some discussion, so to speak, about that, and that's what kind of held everything up.
Well, Washington had another incident, didn't you? Wasn't there a game called and never rained or something? Was that in Washington?
No. The game started at 10 and it didn't rain. You know, you had one of those radar deals where it looked like rain was approaching, and it never got here. And finally at 10 o'clock, they decided to start. So it's a tricky area with weather. I mean, there's all kinds of different aspects of how the weather reaches D.C. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. So it's always a tough call. And last night was just another example.
Well, here we are back in Washington again. Washington is obviously going to win the division, be in the playoffs. And you've been there, God, since it all started to get good with them. How does this team rank, in your opinion, with the other teams you've seen in Washington?
I think they're the best one, and I'm not just saying that because I'm the broadcaster. When you look at the lineup and when it's healthy and Trey Turner at the top, one of the most impactful players in all of baseball with his speed, and you know Jason Worth hitting second to give you a great at-bat every time. He was having a fantastic year before he got hurt, and he's close to coming back. And then when you talk about Bryce Harper, Ryan Zimmerman, Daniel Murphy and Anthony Rendon, those guys back-to-back-to-back. I mean, good luck cutting through that lineup, you know, two or three times. These guys will make you work. If one guy's not hot, the other guy is. It's probably the best, deepest lineup I've seen in a long time in baseball. It reminds me of the 2001 A's, the team I was on that won 102 games when you had, you know, Tejada and Chavez and Johnny Damon and Jermaine Dye and Jason Giambi and Terrence Long. I mean, there was no end to that lineup, and this one kind of reminds me of that. And you know, we won 102 games that year, and the starting pitching, of course, speaks for itself with Max. He's going the night game tomorrow, I'm hearing, and now we shored up the bullpen with Sean Doolittle, who's been fantastic. That guy's got guts, I guess, is the best way to say it on radio. I like him, and Ryan Matson's been throwing 100 in the eighth inning, and Brandon Kinsler from the Twins throws sinkers and gets ground balls and attacks the strike zone. So it looks good, Marty, but you know, it's all a crapshoot once you get to October, so we'll see.
Hey, FP Senior, it's FP Junior. I might know you from somewhere. What do you do during a rain delay? How about you tell the audience, what do you do during a rain delay? What do broadcasters do?
I sit there and get my bank account up and see how much money I'm paying for you to go to school.
Oh, no, don't.
And then I think about how much it cost to tune up the car the other day and how much new tires cost. And so that's how I kill the time.
It's a good thing you're making a lot of money.
Doing nothing. No, I don't. You know, I just sit here. We do nothing. It sucks. I mean, we sit up here in the booth and we have games on. We watch other games, and then we watch Twitter and tweet at people and watch the satellite. You know, I'm a weather freak. I sit up here and watch the satellite and see what the weather is going to do and try to predict when we're going to play. And then, you know, I test my date and tell her that I'm not going to make it tonight. So that's pretty much what a rain delay entitles.
All right, very good. They haven't changed much. I like that. And when you left me, come on, when they won the World Series, you left me in the bunker, and he was out on the mound drinking champagne. That was the best one. So I'll always remember that one. Hey,
that's still the only time I've ever drank on air, and we got green light to do that. If they won, I had the bottle there.
Yeah, you did.
And I got a little slurry toward the end of that show, if I remember right, but I didn't care. First championship in 52 years, and I sat on the mound at AT&T and drank a bottle of champagne. I'll never forget that.
Yeah, you did, and I was on the air saying, where'd the guy go? What happened to him? So, I remember that well. Strasburg for me, and again, so Scherzer's going in the late game. I already said he'd go in the day game. I didn't think they'd make him wait around, but Scherzer is the ace. Strasburg to me, FP, is critical, because if you don't win with Scherzer, then the next guy has got to win. How close is Strasburg to coming back, and what do you think?
Well, he's going to rehab Monday in Potomac, I'm hearing, just recently. I just heard this a couple minutes ago. So he's going to go to our A-ball team in Potomac, which is right down the street, not too far, about 20, 25 minutes away. And they haven't determined how many pitches he's going. And if he comes out of that, he's good. So, you know, the Nats have two aces between Strasburg and Scherzer. I mean, two of the best right-handers in baseball. And if he's healthy and doing his thing, the Nats are good. But we don't know if he's healthy. You know, he's only pitched in one playoff. He missed last year. He missed 2012. And, you know, he got hurt at the end last year. So, you know, the Nats are hoping they can count on him, because if it's – you think about the year Gio's having. They're in the National League in ERA, and he's just been lights out. And if you pitch those three guys in a five-game series, and if it is the Cubs, I don't know if it's going to be the Cardinals, the Cubs, or the Brewers, or even the Pirates in that division. That's who the Nats would face. Those three, I mean, you better get out of the first round with those three as your starting pitchers.
So, Dad, I got another question for you.
Go ahead. Shoot. What do you got?
All right. So, who's the cooler FP, and what's your favorite color? No, I'm just kidding. So, the Dodgers, everybody's talking about them playing a high level of baseball right now. Do you see a possible burnout? Because everybody's talking about how great the Dodgers are. They're talking about how many games they're winning. Everyone's sitting well in the lineup. Everyone's hitting on all cylinders. But when you get to the playoffs, can you get burned out as a team? Can you really – does that grind of really grinding out games really get to you?
Well, first of all, I'm the way cooler FP, and that's never even been a question. I mean, scoreboard. That's all you got to do is look at the scoreboard on that one. 1-0 me. Big 1-0 me on that one. And number two, I don't know about burnt out, FP. What happens is you play at a high level for so long, you just get on a roll. You're like, you know, it's like an avalanche. You're steamrolling. You're going out every night. You're killing people. We did it in Oakland. We won 102 games. The Mariners did it that year. They won 116 games. And so you just get on a roll, and it's just like, how are we going to win this one tonight? Who's going to be the hero tonight? And you're down by three, and you're like, well, we're going to score four. And it just happens, and you get into this groove. And a lot of times teams are built for the long haul. They're built for 162-game season. But are they built for the sprint? And all of a sudden you have all these games and all this good feeling, and it's wiped clean, and it's gone, and you start over again, and everybody's 0-0, and you're equal. So the fact that you won 120 games when it comes to the NLDS or the ALDS or whatever the first series is for that given team, it doesn't matter. It's out the window. And I feel like the team with the best record is overrated, because now you have more pressure. In Los Angeles right now, in that market, if the Dodgers don't win the World Series, it's not a good season. So they went out and upgraded. They made their team better at the trade deadline and putting even more pressure on themselves. So, you know, the Nats have been that team. The Nats have been the favorite. They go into the playoffs and they can't get out of the first round because they have all this pressure on them to win a World Series because of Bryce Harper and Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg and Ryan Zimmerman and go on and on. And you get tight. And so we'll see how the Dodgers, it could be one of those Cubs where they just roll right through it. But you remember last year in the World Series, the Cubs were down 3-1 and all of Chicago freaked out and they started feeling it, and good for them for turning around and winning a championship. But I feel like when you have the best record during the regular season and you wipe the slate clean, there's just tons of pressure on you to not only get out of the first round, but to win it all. So we'll see how it shakes down. Let them have their fun right now. The Nats are under the radar, and they've never been in this position before. They're laying in the weeds, and they've always been the team that's at the top that everybody's gunning for.
Yeah, very good. FP Santangelo with us. Great to have him, and his kid is here helping us today, producing. And by the way, he's doing a good job. I like him.
You know, I've heard, Marty, all the Giants players and coaches are saying, we hear FP on the radio, and he's doing a good job, so I'm proud of him.
Yeah, he's doing well. He was on with WOTUS a couple of times. We've had him on with the professor, so he's doing well. All right, what about the Giants? Thanks. Let me ask you this. You're not here, and the Giants are in, and, of course, I know you do your homework. I know that your mother wouldn't put up with it if you didn't do your homework. So what's your take on the Giants and Sandoval being back, Strickland coming back, maybe facing Harper? What's your take on this weekend?
Well, they're playing better. They're playing well right now, as you guys know, so I don't need to tell you anything. They've won 6 of their last 9, 8 of their last 15. They've hit 13 home runs in their last 13 games, so they're hitting the ball out of the ballpark. And, you know, whenever the Nats play any team, whether it's a last-place team or a second-place team, they get their best bolt. So the Giants, I mean, this is their little mini playoff World Series thing right now when you're as many games out as they are. They're playing the Nats, and they'll be up for the series. It's a weekend series. The ballpark will be packed. It'll be rocking. There'll be a lot of Giants fans here. There always is. But, you know, when you talk about the Strickland-Harper thing, We'll see. I mean, I mean that whole thing's got to be put to rest, doesn't it? I mean, yeah. Strickland doesn't hit. It to me, it doesn't take a man to hit another guy if you don't hit, and you don't have to go up there and stand the batter's box yourself. And I've said this many times publicly. You know, if somebody does something to one of my teammates and my pitcher drills them and defends one of my teammates, that's okay. You know, that's being a good teammate. But when you have your own agenda in your own vendetta that you've sat on for 2 or 3 years and it becomes personal and it's selfish to me. The Giants had a chance to win that game, if you remember, and that put some more runners on and they scored and the game got out of control. So, you know, when you start hitting people because you don't like them and you're not defending your team or your teammates, I have a real problem with that. So we'll see. I don't think he's going to hit Bryce Harper. I would love to see Bryce hit one in the seats and just stand there and watch it, really, because he didn't do a whole lot to warrant that. And, you know, he popped off coming around the bases, but it's playoff baseball. It's AT&T Park. You know, if anyone's ever played in the playoffs or seen the playoffs, it's so intense. Every pitch, every ground ball, it's intense. So emotions come out. You try to play an even keel for 162 games. No high highs, no low lows. Just kind of stay consistent. But when it's in the playoffs, it's like college baseball, man. Everyone's on the top step. They're all popping off. They're all going nuts. It's whatever you can do to win a game. So I don't know. We'll see. He said he's excited to face Bryce. I'm excited to see Bryce face him.
Yeah, well, it would be fun. If he hit a home run, that would be baseball. That would be good theater.
If he hits a home run and charges the mound, has the balls in the air, just instead of running the bases, he just goes to the mound. No,
goodness,
I'm kidding.
I know.
There's no room for violence in baseball.
No, of course not. What about Edwin Jackson? He looks like giving up a lot of home runs, but boy, he pitches well against the Giants. He has always pitched well against the Giants.
Well, hey, he's one of my favorite all-time Nats. When he was here in 2012, just the nicest guy in the world, treats everybody the same, you know, all the cliches, but he's just a good dude. So when we re-signed him to AAA, we're thinking, well, why not? Why not, Edwin? I mean, he was great for us in 12. So he comes out in Anaheim, has a rocky few first innings, and then locks in. And Marty, his last start, he was throwing 98 miles an hour.
Really?
And we didn't see that in 2012. So here it is, fast forward 5 years later. And he's pitching for the Nats with a nasty sinker, throwing 96 to 98. Slider's decent. Changeup is decent. But it's all about the sinker with Edwin. And it's all about him being a veteran guy and knowing hitters at this point. And he's playing with house money. I talked to him. This is his 12th team, but it's only the second team that he's played on twice. So he technically maybe you could call it his 13th team. A guy that's bounced around, not because he's a bad guy, because, you know, he has value. You know, trades here and there. It's never been a we don't like Edwin Jackson, let's get rid of him thing. And I think when people see that he's played on so many teams, that's their first inclination. But he's going to go out there and compete and fight you and go after you. And, you know, some days it's good, some days it's not, but he'll give you innings and he wants to stay out there.
Who's the MVP on this team?
Ooh,
on
that's
the
a
Nets.
Good question.
Yeah.
That's a loaded question, too. I could get in trouble for this one. The MVP of this team might be Dusty Baker right now.
Okay, that's a good answer.
Because there's so many injuries. You know, we've had the storyline of this ball club right now has been young kids stepping up and bench guys stepping up, you know, with injuries to Adam Eaton and Michael A. Taylor, who is playing tremendous, and Jason Worth, and you name it. There's been really big names that have missed some time. And Dusty, you know how Dusty works his magic. Giants fans know. You know, he plugs the guy in here, plugs the guy in there, and makes them feel comfortable. They perform, and the team just keeps rolling. So, you know, obviously Bryce is heading for his second MVP. It looks like he's got a good chance, and he would be the first guy to win two before he's 25, except for Johnny Bench. I think Johnny Bench is the only other guy to do that. Anthony Rendon's the sneakiest best player in baseball that nobody talks about. He's fantastic. Daniel Murphy's one of the best left-handed hitters I've ever seen on a daily basis. So there's a lot of – Ryan Zimmerman's having a career year. So there's a lot of guys – that you could point to, but if it was me and I had to pick one, I'd say Max Scherzer. He kind of makes this team go, and he's one of the best players in baseball, if not the best player in baseball.
Well, exciting. All right, good to hear you. Everything is good, and we always love hearing you on the air and everything else. So it's a pleasure having you on and catching up with you, and if something crazy happens, we'll call you tomorrow.
All right, man. Well, I'll come on anytime you need me. Marty, thanks for getting a little punk on with you. I appreciate it, and I'm glad he's doing a good job. And I miss you guys, man. I miss San Francisco. I miss the Bay. I miss everybody there. And can't thank you enough for helping my son out. That's really cool of you.
Well, he does a good job, and I love working with you and all that. So it's always nice to hear you.
All right, buddy.
All right, take
care. Give me a call.
All right.
Keep doing well. I'll talk to you soon.
All
see you guys.
All right, sounds good.
All right, that's FP Senior back in Washington.